Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Simba was the cub everyone had waited for, the pride of the pride, the lion who would be king. As a young lion, he was curious and playful, full of life and love, mischievous at times, eager to go on an adventure, whether it was exploring an elephant graveyard or torturing poor Zazen, his father's right-hand man, turned into begrudging babysitter. Yes, Simba was a handful, but he was full of love. One awful day, the dry African earth started trembling beneath him, and Simba's eyes grew wide with fear. The buffalo were on the move. Before he knew it, hundreds of the big black animals were charging toward him, and try as he might, he couldn't get out of the way. Quickly, he began to run, finally scrambling up a tree, holding on for dear life. The stampede nearly overtook him. But bounding with the fierceness of a father's love, the regal Mufasa leaped into the stampede and rescued his frightened son, thrusting him up upon a rock above the chaos. Simba was safely out of harm's way. But brave Mufasa had expended his energy saving his son, and could not save himself. The Lion King, who ruled with such wisdom and love, breathed his last breath. Mufasa was dead. Simba was alive, and his father was dead. His evil Uncle Scar blamed Simba, and Simba, being only a child, took the blame. Carried the heavy, heavy burden of guilt and fled the pride. Frightened, so scared, grieving the loss of his father. You remember what happened. Years passed. Befriended by a warthog and a meerkat, the young lion became a member of this unlikely family. Pumbaa, Timon, and Simba lived a worried, free existence. Hakuna Matata, they sang out, enjoying their lives together. But always in the back of Simba's mind was his father's death. Eventually, he was confronted by his childhood pal, all grown up, Nala. And she calls Simba out. It's your responsibility. We need you. Come back. Simba was torn up by the memory of the past, challenged by learning what had become of his father's kingdom since he left. A distraught lion questions his purpose in life, unsure of his past, present, and future. And in this moment of crisis, Simba has a spiritual experience. Up until this point, Simba thought he could outrun his past. He could outrun his guilt. He could outrun his responsibility in the world. He even thought he could outrun his father's love and legacy. I guess he believed that if he just kept running, he'd escape the guilt, the hurt, the pain, and escape his own destiny. I wonder how many of us have felt the same. How many of us think we can outrun our pain, outrun our guilt, outrun our responsibilities, outrun our past? Rafiki reminds us that the past can hurt, like a bonk on the head, or sometimes worse. What Simba didn't realize out in the jungle, romping with his friends, eating those slimy slugs that tasted just like chicken, and living a life with no strings attached, was that he couldn't outrun his past. It would catch up with him. Try as he might, he could not forget who he really was. We're always connected to our past, whether or not we like it. And so Rafiki reminds Simba and us, we must learn from our past or it will continue to hurt us. Though Simba had tried to push away those hurtful memories of his father's death, his father would never truly be dead to him. The truth was, Simba couldn't outrun his father because his father lived in him. He was always there, alive, never really alone in the world. Even though his father was physically dead, he would never be dead to him. When Jesus spoke with his disciples, the closest of his friends, his family, he knew he wouldn't live long. Everybody dies, and Jesus' death was impending. But Jesus, like Mufasa, knew that dying in this world doesn't mean forever. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. Isn't that kind of what Mufasa tells his son in that mystical moment we just witnessed? You are more than what you have become. Take your place in the great circle of life. In keeping Jesus' commandments, we keep Jesus alive. Just like Simba, in taking his place in the great circle of life, keeps Mufasa alive. Jesus tells his disciples, I will not leave you orphaned. Mufasa says the same thing to a son who felt orphaned upon his father's death, having left his mother and homeland, fleeing alone and frightened. You are not alone. Despite what happens, despite how you currently feel, Jesus reminds us, I will not leave you orphaned. For Simba, this experience changes everything. He doesn't think that it means that everything's going to be easy from here on out. He realizes it's going to be hard. But Simba discovers that while the Hakuna Matata lifestyle is fun and carefree, he has a responsibility to face up to a difficult reality. He was personally challenged, and he was ready to reclaim his father's kingdom. Wise Rafiki knew what Simba needed to discover. Mufasa lives in you. God lives in you. Which is what Jesus tells us as well. Because I live, you will also live. On the day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. You are in me. And I am in you, God in us. It changes everything. It's not a free pass to Easy Street. Actually, it means that we have to wake up to the reality that it's up to us, like Simba, to reclaim the kingdom. Simba returned to devastation. The entire circle of life was disrupted. It was a complete disrespect for the natural order of the jungle, and had caused everything to crumble and disrepair. Animals were starving. The trees weren't growing. Water was no longer clean and available. The entirety of their world was nearly destroyed. His father's kingdom had been disrespected. Scar and his cronies had all the power. Everyone else was charged with serving them. It makes me wonder how markedly different our world is today from Simba's world then. Starvation, environmental devastation, a few holding all the power, resources, and wealth while the masses try and scrape by to get their voices heard. I suppose it's easy to sing out Hakuna Matata and believe in a problem-free philosophy. That's the American way, isn't it? Hakuna Matata. Close your eyes to what's happening around us. Refusing to put two and two together, choosing instead to live in the now without regard to the past or the future. But Hakuna Matata cannot work forever. Mufasa's kingdom had been destroyed. We have to ask ourselves, what about God's kingdom here on earth? Who is tending it? What has become of creation? Of course, Jesus tells us what his Father's kingdom looks like, this kingdom of God on earth. It isn't a place for the few and powerful and wealthy, the ones who take the lion's share and leave the brittle bones for the rest of us. That's not the kingdom of God. God's kingdom looks a whole lot more like Mufasa's kingdom, a place where the circle of life is respected, cherished, where there is value in the whole, not simply the few. God's kingdom belongs to the least of these. So we know how the movie goes. It's up to Simba to return things to the way they were when Mufasa was alive, and maybe even make them better than it was during his reign. This is Simba's call, his place in life. It's his responsibility. But thankfully, he doesn't have to do it alone. Because the truth was, he never was alone. His Father lives in him. And every time he does the will of his Father, lives out his Father's legacy, his Father is alive again in him. He's able to give his Father life again. So you know what happens. Simba returns. He faces Scar, that selfish uncle who desecrated his father's kingdom, taking advantage of everything and everyone, and Simba challenges him and reclaims his rightful status. The kingdom will become to be all that it was once more, and the circle of life continues. The big question is, how does our story end? What does this mean for us, for God's kingdom? Will we give Jesus life again? We've been entrusted with the kingdom, and it's up to us to restore it. Thank God we don't have to do it alone. We're not alone. Truly, if we keep Jesus' commandments, we will give him life again. I am in you, and you in me. Jesus lives in each of us. God in us. Animate your faith. Amen.